You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
From February 2026, GPs and nurse practitioners in Aotearoa will be able to start medical treatments for adults with ADHD. It's a move that could drastically reduce long wait times while improving access to care. Mental health experts say the change is a big step forward for adults in New Zealand who are particularly vulnerable to falling through administration gaps. Anna Elders is a mental health nurse practitioner and a specialist in ADHD. I spoke with Anna to talk about what the change means and why it could change the way primary care supports mental health in Aotearoa. To start off, what was your first reaction to this news?
Well, I wasn't surprised by it because I've been working in with the group behind the scenes with Pharmac and MedSafe working to, you know, think about how we were going to do this to raise access and improve outcomes for people with ADHD. So when it was finally announced, I was there, I'm absolutely thrilled for the ADHD community and our mental health sector and our communities here in Aotearoa across the board, really.
Could you explain what's changing and why it matters for people with ADHD?
Yeah, so I think the biggest change that this will bring is that the ability to catch up with someone, where you're catching up with them and in what timely manner is going to shift to allow primary care to do more of the work that they need to be doing in this space, because we're currently relying on what we term specialist services, which are often either in secondary mental health services or private practice, which the majority of New Zealanders can't access. And thus we're seeing these massive challenges in gaining access to diagnosis and specific treatments like medication. So by doing what we need to do and what's already happening with other mental health challenges or conditions and moving more of the ability for primary care to do more of the work, it's just gonna remove the major obstacles that are there.
Why do you think there's been more of a push for GPs to be more involved in diagnosing and treating ADHD?
So it's not just GPs. We're also talking about a really other important workforce that is currently being underutilised, and that's nurse practitioners, both in primary care, that work alongside and do similar roles to GPs in that general practice space, as well as mental health and child and adolescent mental health nurse practitioners that are working alongside psychiatrists and paediatricians in those similar roles. I think the importance of it really is, if we're looking at the number of people that need support, to the number of specialists we have, the number of psychiatrists and paediatricians, where the weight's fallen on them and where those guys are often employed. So much like diabetes used to be surprisingly a condition that was only treated by specialist endocrinologists and specialist services, you know, that shifted to GPs taking over, and that was quite a change. And there was a lot of resistance initially whether or not GPs could manage a condition like diabetes, but now it's a given. So there's a lot of work that's going to be needed to get our primary care teams up and running with the expertise, the ability to undertake the really comprehensive assessments that's needed to get the diagnosis right, to understand the different treatment pathways. But so that's going to be the next step of work that's going to happen. Some of those GPs and primary care nurse practitioners will have some specialist knowledge already, but that's where we're going to be heading from now, and it will really open up to just that closer to home, easy to access support that people with ADHD need.
Can you explain what the current process is for getting an ADHD diagnosis in New Zealand?
Yeah, so like I said, at the moment there's a heavy reliance on psychologists, some of those guys working in the educational psychology space, especially for kids, clinical psychologists, registered psychologists, and within psychology, to some degree there can be supervision around getting that diagnosis sort of confirmed by, say, clinical psychologists in some cases. And then there is also the ability to see a psychiatrist, which may be child or an adult psychiatrist, paediatricians, and mental health nurse practitioners that work both in an adult or a child and adolescent space. So the process is really rigorous, or you know, a good assessment is. It starts off with catching up with people, often for at least an hour and a half, and having an initial assessment. There's a whole bunch of different screenings and psychometric measures that are done, because you're not just looking to diagnose ADHD. What you're really trying to do is identify what are the challenges and how could they be best explained. So you've got to be looking at physical health conditions that may explain some of the issues people are having, that may be instead of ADHD or alongside, you're also looking at a whole range of other conditions that again could be happening alongside ADHD, making it more challenging, or could explain the challenges instead of it being ADHD. So you're really going through a process of rolling in and rolling out, looking over time as well. So you're looking back into childhood, have the challenges been present before adolescence, you know, in those earlier years, are they still there, and are they present across a range of domains at home, work, you know, and social life. So it really is quite a rigorous process before you can arrive and sort of work with someone to sort of confirm that, yep, this is ADHD, or actually it may look like it, but it's in fact not. It could be explained in a different way.
You've mentioned that this shift will reduce delays and save money. How significant are the current wait times, and what difference will it make to have the GPs prescribing directly?
So there's a couple of parts to this. One is around where people are going along for an actual initial assessment. Some people have the diagnosis already, whether it's in childhood or they may have had that diagnosis made by a psychologist who can't prescribe. So this change is going to be really significant for those guys. They'll no longer have to see a psychiatrist or a paediatrician. There are GPs out there who may not quite have their diagnostic skills up, but we have worked with ADHD and been prescribing in primary care after a psychiatrist or a paediatrician may have started medication, and those guys will be able to do a lot more of the work in supporting changes in medications, dose increases, or restarting people that haven't been on meds for a long time, who were maybe kids who were diagnosed and are struggling as adults now and want to, you know, retry stimulants. The other part of it, with people that are coming first time for a diagnosis, is going to be the more complex, lengthier part for benefit. And there will also be challenges that our healthcare system and, you know, primary care system, particularly in PHOs, are going to have to work through around cost. What we really don't want to see is that we get a continued sort of payment for this. There really needs to be an onus on how can we have some funded or certainly subsidised assessments that's happening in primary care, because the massive challenge at the moment is for a lot of people in private is cost. So there are going to be definitely things to iron out, but I think there's enough of a cost saving and social investment impact that, you know, hopefully there'll be some good thinking around the need to spend some money in health to support ADHD, to save money longer term across a whole range of different sectors that we're currently spending resources on, whether it's through the justice system, you know, police, social services, drug and alcohol, where, you know, people struggle with the ongoing consequences of living undiagnosed with ADHD or, you know, not optimally supported.
What is the risk of overdiagnosis or misdiagnosis if GPs and nurse practitioners play a larger role in ADHD assessments?
So overdiagnosis, look, I mean, you could look at it from the challenge of starting someone on a stimulant and it not being the right approach because they don't have ADHD. Obviously, stimulants come with their risks, but you're screening people very carefully around those and not, you're being very cautious for anyone who would have added risks of, say, having a, you know, a heart attack in response or some really significant adverse reaction. Most people, when they start stimulants, you know, their response will identify if they're helpful or not. And although that doesn't cement that you've got the diagnosis right, it certainly can be quite reassuring as a prescriber. But the other thing around misdiagnosis, so we know that we've got a whole bunch of people out there with ADHD who have only ever been diagnosed with depression, sometimes treatment-resistant depression or anxiety disorders or even things like bipolar, where actually they are the misdiagnoses, or it might be their depression or anxiety is secondary to the ADHD they've lived with for years and years that's never been picked up, and their depression isn't shifting or improving or responding to antidepressants because, you know, it's that dopamine they need so much support with rather than serotonin. So I think we've got a much bigger problem of misdiagnosis and underdiagnosis of ADHD at the moment that we're trying to address. The challenges of overdiagnosing ADHD in the future, I think, is far less of an issue and less risky, but this is what we're going to be carefully looking at as this rolls out and monitoring.
Do you see this as a step towards broader changes towards improving care for other conditions like OCD, bipolar disorder and anxiety?
Absolutely. So, you know, I've worked as a mental health specialist and for a reasonable amount of that time as a nurse practitioner, so prescribing and diagnosing alongside, you know, colleagues who are psychiatrists working in that primary care space. We just don't have the specialism in primary care that we need. We've got some fantastic GPs and primary care nurse practitioners who can do a great job with mental health. They don't get the time, they don't get the training and you know, that full ability to identify other conditions properly, like OCD and bipolar, especially where it's complex. And so we have such undetected rates of things like social anxiety, OCD. We have misdiagnoses of things like bipolar, even borderline personality disorder, and those really stigmatising conditions, because we're just not doing proper screenings for things like ADHD and conditions like PTSD. So a proper training program will see GPs and primary care nurse practitioners who want to develop a specialist practice in this in general care, like they do with skin cancers or other specialist areas that GPs can step into. They'll have to get their heads around not just diagnosing ADHD, they'll have to learn what those other conditions look like, because they've got to either be able to rule those in or out. So what you're doing by helping GPs train up with ADHD is that they will have to get better, or not better, they'll have to fine-tune, upskill in being able to better detect a whole range of conditions and know what to treat and support. So you are, if this is done properly, we're going to see an improvement in how primary care mental health can support our populations. 11 years at the moment is the current time it takes for someone to get diagnosed with OCD. That's the delay from the condition presenting itself to when someone gets diagnosed. 11 years is a long time. You know, it's similar for other conditions. So we need to do something about that. And I think this is potentially will, you know, support some of that wider improvement too.
That was Anna Elders speaking about the upcoming changes to ADHD and treatment in primary care.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.